This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. We are broadcasting today from the Farm Show at the Champlain Valley Expo, an annual winter event where farmers talk shop and kick the tires on new equipment. There's some pretty fancy tractors out there on display, and the wide eyes aren't all on the little tykes running around the huge exhibit hall. Farmers are always in the news in our agricultural state, but in the last few weeks, the headlines have not glowed with positivity. And that's because policymakers are drawing a straighter, darker line between farms and water pollution. The deteriorating water quality in Lake Champlain has been a topic of ecological concern, lawsuits, and huge spending programs in the last 15 years. The big problem, phosphorus, washing into the lake from its massive watershed and setting off blooms of toxic, filthy blue-green algae. Phosphorus gets into the lake in a number of ways: wastewater treatment plants, stormwater runoff from paved surfaces, and from farms. Governor Peter Shumlin described it this way recently on Vermont Edition.
We're all in this together, and we're all a part of the problem. But there's no question that farms are 40% of the problem. And what I'm doing a little differently, I hope, is saying this, because, politicians don't like to get near this rail. I'm going, because I'm bound and determined to get clean water.
So, in his inaugural address, Shumlin proposed roughly $20 million in both state and federal funds to provide farmers with incentives to develop better manure practices. Some of that money would also go towards reducing another significant percentage of the runoff from local roads. Today, we're going to spend the hour with two of the state's policy leaders who are closely connected to the problem on farms and of water quality, Agriculture Secretary Chuck Ross and the Commissioner of Environmental Conservation, David Mears. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for taking some time with us. All right, we'll get your mics on here in just a moment. I think their mics are not up, but we'll get that on. We've got David Mears, we've got Chuck Ross, we've got a lot of sound here at the Farm Show, and it is a pleasure to be here. Let's just jump right in, though, and talk a little bit about the scope of the problem with phosphorus and runoff in Lake Champlain and how much farms are actually contributing. David Mears, how big of a problem is phosphorus in Lake Champlain?
It's a significant problem. When you look at the standard, what the standard is now and how much phosphorus is currently going in and how much over the standard we are, we have to reduce the amount of phosphorus and sediment and nutrients going into the lake by over a third in order to achieve our goals. And within that, that overall goal of reduction, farm pollution is roughly 40% across the whole basin. In some parts of the basin, it's significantly more, like the northern part of the lake or southern part, but across the whole basin, it's not an insubstantial piece of the puzzle.
My understanding, too, about phosphorus is that it sort of sinks down into the lake sediment and rest there and come back up and cause problems later on. So even tackling this problem now won't mean that we won't be dealing with some algae blooms later on.
It's true. It's going to take a while for the phosphorus to work its way out of the system, particularly in some of the shallower bays like St. Albans Bay or Missisquoi Bay or the southern part of the lake. Where it's shallower, when the sediments are churned up by wave action or wind, it can release the phosphorus into the water column, and it will take a while for that to work its way out of the lake.
Chuck Ross, that 40% number that David Mears just mentioned, that about 40% of the runoff and phosphorus in Lake Champlain comes from farms, can you break down what's happening, why that is the case, and why it's different in different parts of the lake?
Well, it in part has to do with the agricultural intensity of the land that's being farmed, not in the intensity, but the virtual number of acres being farmed in any part of the watershed. The northwestern part of the state, in Franklin County, in the Missisquoi River Basin, the farm intensity is quite high. And we have two portions of the lake, the Missisquoi Bay and the St. Albans Bay, that are chronic problems in terms of blue-green algae. And the amount of phosphorus that the ag community contributes to those areas are in excess of 40%, probably closer to 60 to 70%. And the same is true on the southern part of the lake that doesn't see a lot of, it's not a large body of water. It's quite narrow down there, and we have significant contributions from agriculture there as well. And so it's really it has to do with the nature of the land use. And on a per farm basis, each farm is different. Different farms and different practices have different impacts. And so it would be unfair to generalize that every farm in one area is doing X, because they're all different. They have different crops. They have different rotations. They have different timing. They have different ways to apply their manure.
That's generally the problem, though. It's the application of manure, the manure spreading that's causing this phosphorus in the runoff.
Well, the manure spreading is clearly part of it. We also need to recognize that there are other sources, which David alluded to, stream banks being another, that sometimes are located in farm fields and sometimes are located elsewhere, but they too are a significant contributor. Up to 20% or more of the phosphorus load comes from our stream banks, which is a hydrological issue that some farmers have to deal with because they own land along the rivers. So the sources are many and vary, and they're different from land use to land use. And what we need to do is help all our land owners, whether they be farmers, farmland owners, residential owners, commercial and industrial property owners, understand how their particular land use may be affecting the waters of the state and what they can do differently to mitigate that impact.
And we're going to get into some of that today as we are broadcasting live from the Champlain Valley Expo for the annual Farm Show. We're talking with Agriculture Secretary Chuck Ross and Environmental Conservation Commissioner David Mears about how the state plans to tackle the issue of phosphorus runoff from farms. About 40%, as we're hearing, entering Lake Champlain is believed to come from farms, that runoff from farms. So the Shumlin administration would like to put more money and effort into combating that part of the problem. And we have to say, with the EPA breathing down the state's neck to come up with an acceptable lake cleanup plan, Governor Shumlin is hoping the plan he announced in May will satisfy the EPA's requirements. Listeners, if you have a question for our guests or want to add your thoughts, call 1-800-639-2211. If you are someone here at the Farm Show, perhaps a farmer, perhaps somebody just interested in these issues, please step on up. We've got a microphone you can add to the conversation. What do you need? More money for better management practices? More help understanding exactly what the problem is and how best to deal with it? Or when you think about it honestly, would the threat of fines or sanctions be a bigger push to compliance for you? Again, our number, 1-800-639-2211, or you can post your thoughts at vpr.net. I think we have somebody here today who'd like to add a thought to the conversation as we go. Can you tell us your name and where you're from?
I'm Barbara Nolfi. I'm from Burlington, Vermont. I'm here for the Vermont Bee Association meeting. And somebody from the Department of Agriculture spoke during our meeting and said that he really favored doing a lot of education. I feel like education is important, but that we also need enforcement, because it seems like education has been working to some extent, but the lake hasn't been really getting a lot cleaner. As a matter of fact, it's been getting a little worse. So I'd like to have a discussion about that, enforcement as well as education.
All right, let's jump right into that. We haven't gone into the details of the plan here about how the governor would like to spend some of this money on Lake Champlain cleanup, but one of those issues is enforcement, and that's often an issue when we talk about this because there already are some rules and restrictions in place for farmers. So Chuck Ross, maybe you can start us off with a talk a little bit about what enforcement is out there and why education is still a piece of this puzzle if people like Barbara are saying enforcement's what we need.
We clearly need enforcement, and we have been recommending changes in the enforcement process so we can be quicker and the enforcement can be more meaningful in terms of the size of the penalties, so they cannot be ignored as a cost of doing business, so we can get the limited number of violators to respond more quickly, to eliminate the pollution of the lake, and also eliminate the bad brush that the rest of the good farmers, the good actors, are getting brushed with. And that's a fairness question. It's not fair for many, many farmers to work very hard, expend their own time and money and resources to do the right thing, and then have a couple of bad actors make them all look bad.
Is 40% of the problem coming from a couple of bad actors, though?
No, it's not 40% of the problem, but
40% of the runoff.
Right, you know. No, it's not from just two or three individuals, but they're, the work of many can be undone by a limited number of folks, and we need to stop that. But the thrust is, and this is where I can't be emphatic enough, we're not going to enforce our way to clean water. We're going to get to clean water because we collaborate and partner and create a culture where we all feel responsible, we all know what it is we need to do, and we do it. And we have the resources and the assistance where necessary to get it done. And I'll tell you our experience now that we have five people instead of four people working on water quality in the Agency of Agriculture for over 6,000 farms, I might add. What we've discovered is that there are many farmers who aren't familiar with the basic regulatory floor called the AAPs. That's the regulations we've had in place since 1995 and were updated in 2006. It's a problem when people don't know what's expected of them. And that's where I was probably that person in that meeting who was emphasizing education, because it's impossible for us to go in the right direction if we don't know where to go, and if the people that are actually engaged in the practices on the farm don't know what they should be doing and what's required of them, it's not a surprise that we have some issues out there. And with over 6,000 farms in the state of Vermont that are not visited with any regularity because we don't have the staff, nor have we developed the overarching societal culture to get them the information, we probably have problems out there that need to be addressed. And we want to get after that and help them understand what's expected of them, provide them with the technical assistance and knowledge and know-how when appropriate, and when appropriate, provide the resources so they can get the job done. And I remind us that some people say, why are you spending all these resources doing this work? Well, I just want to remind people back in the 60s when we had another kind of wastewater problem, which was point source pollution. And we, as a collective society, we, the United States of America, spent billions of dollars installing wastewater treatment facilities so all of us that live in our residential developments and our commercial and industrial developments would treat our sewage correctly. And it took us a couple times to get that right. But it was a societal, collective effort that we all engaged in. That's why the Cuyahoga doesn't burn today when it did then. And we need to exercise the same collective motivation to address Nonpoint and do it as a community of supporters, not a community of accusers. We all respond better when we're encouraged to do the right thing and assisted in doing so. That's the culture we need to create. That's why this is a proposal by the governor to substantially ramp up the state's commitment to stewardship and accountability, but stewardship first.
Let's go to Mark, who's calling in from Berkshire on this. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I don't blame the farmers for this. I blame the agency that was in charge of them that had a law on the book that they should have been enforcing for the last 20 years. They chose not to. As a fisherman, the last 20 years, I've seen the decline of the Fiscoy River, seen that it can't even winter or summer trout anymore because of this. By allowing the farmers to cut right to the riverbank and not enforcing the state buffer zones, they might as well just back the manure truck right up and dump it in the river. Now, I don't blame the farmers for it. I blame the people who are supposed to be enforcing a law that's on the books and didn't decide to enforce it until the EPA threw money at them and threatened them with fines. I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you very much.
Mark, thanks for your call. And you know, Commissioner Mears, I'd like you to respond to this, because one of the criticisms of the way we have this whole system set up is that the Agency of Agriculture is supposed to enforce and monitor regulation and the compliance with some of the pollution regulation. And one of the criticisms is, can the Agency of Agriculture actually do that, given that their constituents are the farmers and that poses a conflict of interest? So could you respond to Mark's frustration there?
Yes, and you know, I think Secretary Ross and I have both heard you know, from many Vermonters across the state, a frustration with this problem. And, you know, different folks have different perspectives. Some think it's all about enforcement. You know, others say, we'll just do the right thing, just tell us what to do and give us the money. And I think the truth is you need a mix of tools. You need a balance between having enforcement at the back end, as Secretary Ross said, for basic fairness. But you also need to make sure that, I mean, our farmers in this state of Vermont are greatest stewards of the land. And well-managed farms are one of our greatest clean water assets, frankly, and that's where we need to move towards. But to answer your question in terms of the relationship, you know, how as a government we organize ourselves to get at issues of enforcement and compliance and assistance and education and outreach and all that, Secretary Ross has the same interest in his job as I do in clean water, as does the governor, as does Secretary Moulton and Agency of Commerce. You know, as part of our economic development and our tourism industry and all that depends upon clean water. In the same way, my agency and department has a necessary commitment to economic development in the state. And we both work for the same governor. We're all accountable to the public for those shared goals. So which agency this function of enforcement and compliance sits in, to me, is more a matter of what's the most effective place. Where are we going to get the most bang for our public tax dollar?
And why is that the Agency of Agriculture?
Because they have folks that are on the farms all the time, and they have relationships with farmers. They have a whole set of education outreach they do around health laws, milk pricing laws, you know, helping to advise them on fertilizers and grain purchases. And so helping them work through the water quality issues makes a lot of sense. It also makes sense that it's a partnership. We have more expertise in my department in regulatory matters and have, you know, attorneys and inspectors that can help facilitate that. And frankly, one of the gaps that Secretary Ross and I identified when we first took these jobs was that the relationship between our two agencies was not sufficiently connected. We didn't have the kind of coordination that would really make us more effective, nor did the two of our agencies have the right relationship with the Attorney General's office. So I think the answer to it is yes, there can be more effective enforcement. It's one of the tools that we could do a better job with, and that's frankly a big part of our overall initiative.
We got a note from a listener online who says, subsidies for Vermont dairy farmers are deeply entrenched into many aspects of Vermont's economy, not just current use. So taxpayers subsidize farmers' pollution, and now Secretary Ross is advocating for taxpayers to pay for the cleanup as well. If industry polluted this way, we wouldn't be helping them. We'd be shutting them down until they cleaned up their act. Secretary Ross, your thoughts?
The subsidies we're talking about, in many ways, I analogize to the kinds of assistance we provided in wastewater treatment plants back in the 60s and 70s. We had a major water quality problem then. We have a significant water quality problem now on Nine Point, and it's not confined to Vermont. When in the 60s and 70s, we dedicated many, many resources to solving that problem, and that came to the benefit of industry. It came to the benefit of residential home construction companies. It came to the benefit of commercial operations. And we're dealing with a farm community that has been given certain signals about how they can operate by society at large for a long time. And they have complied by and large with those signals. And now we understand that some of the practices that they may have been conducting need to be different and they need to change. And we're looking for some assistance to help them make those changes in their economic system, their businesses, if you will, because they are, in fact, businesses, to enable them to do the right thing, just as we enabled municipal sewer treatment plants to treat the sewer and the infrastructure built by taxpayers in the 60s and 70s. So
you think it's right and appropriate for taxpayer money to go towards this issue, towards solving the problem?
I think it's right and appropriate, and I think it's going to get the job done quicker. And we need to move quickly here. And it's also important to recognize that when assistance is provided to farms, that many farms do things on their own anyway at this time right now. And secondly, when they do implement changes, they are putting some of their own money and time on the table as well. So it is not just all taxpayer-funded.
We're talking today about phosphorus runoff into Lake Champlain and the contribution from Vermont's farms. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about what farms are already doing to try to stem this problem, what regulations are in place, and how this money proposed by the governor would actually help in terms of increasing compliance, but also increasing education and understanding among farmers. We are live at the Farm Show at the Champlain Valley Expo. And listeners, if you are listening in and want to chime in on the conversation, you can call 1-800-639-2211. We also have a microphone right here at the Farm Show. People passing by can add their thoughts as well. People listening here to the Farm Show, to the Vermont Edition show at the Farm Show. We'll be right back. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. We are broadcasting live from the Farm Show at the Champlain Valley Exposition. We've got some chickens listening in to the program not far away from us. It's not often that you get to smell ammonia as you broadcast live from Vermont Edition, and today we've got it. We are immersed here at the Farm Show, and we're talking about an issue that's a hot topic of conversation in environmental and agricultural circles: the pollution of Lake Champlain and the roles farms play in phosphorus runoff. Agriculture Secretary Chuck Ross and Environmental Conservation Commissioner David Mears are helping us understand the problem and how the state plans to tackle it with added funding and enforcement. We're also hearing from some people here at the Farm Show and on our phone lines. If you're calling in, you can call 1-800-639-2211. But we'd love to snag some of the people here walking by our booth and listening to the program. So if you have a question about farm contribution to Lake Champlain pollution, if you want to share your perspective on what farms are doing right and what the state could do to help you, you can come right up to the microphone. We were talking a little bit before the break there about enforcement. We talked a little bit about what the state is doing and money, but we wanted to get into a little bit about what the regulations already are and what farms are doing right. And Commissioner Mears and Secretary Ross, you've talked a little bit about how farms and farmers are stewards of the land and are trying to contribute to making sure that our environment is strong moving forward. So maybe you could pick up there. Commissioner Mears, I know you wanted to chime in there at the end of that segment that we were just completing.
Yeah, just a quick wrap-up thought on the prior comment that Secretary Ross was making about the funding. And I just wanted, this is a little bit more mechanical and down in the weeds, but we recently got a substantial new infusion of federal dollars through something called the Resource Conservation Partnership Program through the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And frankly, the fact that program exists is a deep credit to Senator Leahy, who was a real advocate for that. But I wanted to mention in the context, because that particular grant is a perfect example of what we need to move to. It's got a mix of funding and support from the state, from the federal government, from frankly some private folks, and there will be cost share requirements that farmers have to pay. There's watershed groups that are also supported by philanthropic organizations. It's a full-on team effort, and there's a shared benefit to all of us from having our land and farms in the state of Vermont. They are an iconic part of the landscape. They're also a critical, they provide a critical function in terms of clean water. So that gets then to your question about what are some of the things that farmers are doing right. And frankly, in sum, any time that a farmer is finding ways to make sure that the rainfall and snow melt and so forth that falls on the landscape infiltrates into the ground slowly and does not run off, is doing a real benefit to all of us for clean water. A well-managed farm, as I've said many times, is one of our greatest assets. And so the kinds of practices that encourage that are putting cover crops on, if you have an annual crop, for instance. I mean, one of the challenges we face and that farmers face is that to make a living off their land, they often need to grow annual crops like corn. The challenge is that leaves a lot of your land bare in the fall and spring, some of the wettest times of the year. Cover crops can be a way of reducing the amount of polluted runoff that comes off of those fields. It reduces the amount of compaction in the soil, so it makes it easier for the water to sink in and for the phosphorus and nutrients to get adsorbed to the soil particles. So that's just a couple examples. I'm sure Secretary Ross has a handful more.
Yeah, there's many things that farmers can do and are doing that do make a difference. Manure injection is one very effective way to do it. No-till seeding.
And manure injection, is that what it sounds like? You just basically shoot that manure right into the ground?
You have a
so you're not spreading it on
a shaft
top?
That ejects the below the surface of the ground, injects the manure into the soil profile, and is absorbed there. And it short circuits what some farmers do, which is spread it on top and then incorporate it with a chisel plow. No-till seeding and contour plowing. I just was at a workshop with farmers that went from 7 o'clock at night to 10:30, and they were listening to one another talk about conservation practices. And one farmer said, when I started no-till seeding, I was somewhat skeptical. After 7 years, I'm a believer because I've seen better crop yields. I've seen better water intake. I've seen better nutrient absorption. And I have a soil profile that is very healthy.
And so there are a lot of practices that are going to be best both for farms and for farm production and for saving money and for the environment. But there must also be areas in which it's, if not detrimental to a farm, it's not the most effective and efficient way to produce food or to have your dairy cows. So is there a balance to strike here between what's best for the farms and what's best for the environment in cases where it's not as clear-cut as this is the best thing for both?
If I could jump in, Secretary sure. Ross, I mean, we are looking for exactly the payoff that you described, where there's multiple co-benefits to a particular action. And I think one of the biggest challenges is that it's it's complicated. You have to take a longer term view, and it's technically complex, and farmers need help to kind of sort those balances out. For instance, we know, you know, if you're going to put cover crops on, it means you have to harvest your corn sooner. And that means using short season corn, which produces less and you make less money. And you have to pay for the cover crop seed. So there definitely a cost to that. The long-term benefit is you keep more soil on, it's more fertile. And so there's a balance there. And, you know, there are experts at Secretary Ross's agency at the University of Vermont Extension Service and in conservation districts that can work with farmers to help them take advantage of that kind of knowledge. One other example of a practice that an earlier caller, Mark from Berkshire, referenced, which is the idea of having buffers along streams, areas that, you don't plant your corn or your crops right up to the edge. That really is important. One of the things we've discovered is that that doesn't matter. If you've got buffers all along your streams, but that is interspersed by ditches that run through the field that don't have that buffer, you haven't really solved the problem. And so one of the updates to the accepted agricultural practices is to increase the size of those buffers and to require them along ditches. That, though, is at a cost. You know, for farmers that were getting production, crop production from that land are now going to lose that. And that's another reason why using funding, federal or state or other funds, to kind of incentivize farmers to take those kinds of actions is just one of those important tools that will help us get the job done.
We are here at the Farm Show today. We're broadcasting live from the Champlain Valley Expo, and we're talking about farm runoff and the contribution that farms have in Lake Champlain pollution. It was a topic of the governor's inaugural address, and it's something that a lot of farmers, a lot of people who think about Vermont's environment are concerned with and are talking about. So we're taking the hour to discuss it today as well, and if you have some thoughts, you can share them by going to vpr.net or by calling 1-800-639-2211 or by finding our microphone right here at the Farm Show. Let's go to Scott, who's calling in from Pomfret. Hi, Scott. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I have a question about funding, and I'd like to offer up a suggestion, and that is leveraging the Clean Water Act State Revolving Fund and the interest from those loans to help fund some of the cleanup efforts. And it seems like it would be a perfectly well-suited means of helping fund this effort. So I'd like to get your guest thoughts on whether that's a good idea and if they've considered it. Thank you.
All right, your thoughts, Commissioner Mears. I see you nodding. You want to jump in there?
Yeah, I'm always stunned. I shouldn't be by this point. But you have a listenership who is so informed about these issues. I don't know how many folks know about the State Revolving Fund program, but there is a federal program in which the EPA gives states money to essentially capitalize a loan program, and we have to throw in state matching money, so we're in it too. But we use that money primarily for, in the past we've used it to help municipalities upgrade and maintain their sewage treatment plant systems. And there's no question that we can be more creative in how we use those funds and need to be, because we've got to spread them further. Not only do we have to maintain our existing sewage treatment plant system infrastructure, we also have to help communities deal with the municipal stormwater runoff issues that they're going to be including. I mean, we've been focused, obviously, today a lot on agriculture, but there is a whole set of practices that need to be put in place in our developed areas as well. That's going to take money. Municipalities need access to low-interest money. So we are looking at ways of kind of extending and expanding the ways in which we use the state revolving fund monies. And one specific example of that is something I learned with the assistance of Ted Brady, who runs the Vermont Rural Development Office of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They have federal funds available to give to rural communities to help them pay for their cost of water quality infrastructure. And I discovered that from Ted that we've been sending millions of those dollars back to Washington, D.C. every year. And it appears to me that part of the reason for that may be that our two programs are competing against one another. So we're trying to fix that. So Scott, you're exactly on the right track, and we're following you.
Secretary Ross, you want to chime in?
This is really part of David's part of the business, his budget, and I'm aware of those funds. As a former state legislator, I used to look at them myself and have my own ideas, and I'm glad to see that David is looking at creative ways to use those resources, because they're important, and we have to be smarter about this, and I'm pleased to hear David and talking to Ted Brady, because that's the kind of collaboration we need going forward.
We got a note from James who says, I'm sorry, but I just don't buy that farmers are unaware of the rules. This is far from a new issue. As the saying goes, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Secretary Ross, can you talk a little bit about that education practices?
Sure.
That you think need to go into place here, and how that's going to help, given that these rules have been in place. So ignorance should not be something that we just educate out of now.
It is frustrating that we have had these rules around for a while, and our experience is that many people don't or are not either familiar at all or not very familiar with them and understand that they apply to their farms. One of the challenges that we've had that I've come to learn as I've been in this job for a few years now is when we pass the AAPs, which are the regulatory floor, the legislature gave the agency the ability to do rulemaking to get these rules in place. They gave the agency zero staff to do the education outreach. Fast forward from 1995, go through the update in 2006, and go to 2011 when I walked in the door with Governor Shumlin, and I found at that time we had four people, that would be 4-1-2-3-4, that were responsible for managing and responding to water quality and agriculture. Those four people's job is to administer the large farm operation permits and the medium farm operation permits. Collectively, those are all the farms with 200 cow equivalents and more. Those four people have 60,000 acres per person to be responsible for on just the large farm and medium farm operations. We had nobody until last year to do all the rest of the farms, of which measure in the thousands. Ignorance is not an excuse, but education does take effort. And I believe when presented with the responsibilities that the APs represent and some education, some outreach, and where necessary, some technical assistance, and if necessary, even the threat of enforcement. And most farmers and most Vermonters don't need that threat of enforcement, but when necessary, it's there. The Vermonters are going to do the right thing. We need to get out and educate. We need to create a culture in this state that's just not about farmers, but it's about our communities and our collective investment and belief that water quality is worth the time, worth the effort, worth the investment, and help each other get it done.
And when you say we need to go out and educate, is that because there is a gap in knowledge?
It's our experience that there is not the familiarity with the requirements of the AAPs that we thought there would be. And we've come to learn that since we were given an extra person last year who has actually been out there visiting the small farm operators and discovering that many of them are not aware. This person has been on horse farms, for example, and they had not a clue, at least so they said, that they're required to comply with the APs.
Are there different regulations for small farms, large farms, and medium farms?
They all have to comply with the AAPs, but the large farm and the medium farms have an elevated level of performance because of their significant potential impact. Go ahead, David, you want to weigh in on this?
I just wanted to add a piece to this, because when folks say, you know, farmers know the rules and we should get after them, you know, there are some farmers that are taking actions that, you know, we dealt with a situation not long ago where there was essentially a direct discharge from a manure lagoon into a stream. Yes, a farmer should know better than that. And I think any farmer, you know, that is listening to that and, you know, heard about that story would expect us to take an enforcement action in that case. The accepted agricultural practices, however, cover a broad range of issues, including some fairly complicated practices to put in place on the fields. And I just wanted to share a kind of an observation, having worked in this field now for going on 25 years. When I first started, there was a tendency to look at agriculture as though we were mostly worried about large, what they call confined animal feedlots and the production areas. And there was this kind of focus on factory farms and an effort to really raise awareness that there not all farms were kind of pastoral farms out in the field. But I think it overshot the mark. That kind of whole campaign really ended up demonizing farmers in a way that is not appropriate. From my perspective, I've said it before, I'll say it again, well-managed farms are a really critical asset. And the rules of how you do field practices it's information that we've developed over the last decade. There's new information, new ideas, new methods that are now being put in place that require different kinds of equipment, different practices, different timing of crop application, different timing of manure application. And I think I just so agree with Secretary Ross. If we pretend that we're going to somehow put a complex set of rules out for a group of small businesses, you know, which most farms are effectively are, they're flat out. They don't have time to get into all those details. I think it's a fundamental and appropriate public obligation for our state agencies to help them do that.
All right, more coming up here as we broadcast live from the Farm Show. We're talking about farm runoff and its contribution to Lake Champlain pollution. More to come here on Vermont Edition. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Today, we are live at the Farm Show at the Champlain Valley Expo. We're talking with Ag Secretary Chuck Ross and Environmental Conservation Commissioner David Mears about how the state plans to tackle the issue of phosphorus runoff from farms. We're hearing from many listeners who are thinking about this issue and want to chime in. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. You can also share your thoughts by going to vpr.net and contribute to the conversation there. We also have a microphone here at the Farm Show. We've got some people passing by listening in as they're wandering around the expo, so feel free to share your thoughts with us. Aaron, Lucy has the mic. So let's go to the calls. We've got Jeremy calling in from Ripton. Hi, Jeremy. You're on.
Hi, I have a couple of questions about sediments, one for each of your guests. Earlier, Secretary Ross cited the figure of 20% for stream bank sediments, presumably historical sediments. I'm wondering if that's 20% of the 40% usually cited for farm runoff. And for David Mears, there is a project in the works for a long line DC transmission line down the center of the lake. I believe at shallower depths, they are proposing to jet plow that line in. I wonder if there's any concern about sediments there, whether his department is taking a look at the potential impacts there. Also, that project has very deep pockets, and one wonders if there might be an opportunity for cleanup funding there somewhere.
All right, a couple of questions there from Jeremy. Commissioner Mears, let's take that second one first, and then we'll move back to Secretary Ross.
Yeah, there's a transmission line, an electricity transmission line that's been proposed that would bring hydropower, electricity, generated electricity from Canada and Quebec down to southern New England. And along the way, it would pass through a chunk of the lake. And Jeremy's identified a couple of interesting issues that we are very much engaged in. One is there are... not significant, it doesn't appear to be water quality impacts, but there are some water quality impacts, both the disturbance of sediment as well as some temperature impacts. Apparently the wire gets pretty hot. So the staff in my department are looking at those issues, and we're evaluating what kind of permit conditions and requirements to place on the installation of a line to make sure that those impacts are minimized or eliminated. And then the issue about the fact that there's deep pockets. I mean, there's definitely going to be significant revenue, money, funding, profits generated from this project. And in Vermont, when we share public lands, like the bottom of the lake belongs to all of us in the state of Vermont. We're entitled to ask for some compensation for that. So we're in the middle of a conversation with the transmission line company about what an appropriate and fair amount of payment might be. And I know we'll come back to it later. I don't want to step on Secretary Ross's ability to answer the first part of this question, but I hope we can come back to talking about the Clean Water Fund, because the payment from this transmission line might be the kind of thing that could go into a state Clean Water Fund that would help pay for water quality improvements.
All right, let's double back on that, because we do want to follow up here with, okay, what are the next steps, and where's this money going, and where's the state going to get more money to make sure that we actually can complete the effort? But Secretary Ross, do you want to respond to Jeremy first?
Sure. Number he's looking at is stream bank erosion, and that's in the neighborhood of 20%. Everything's variable depending upon the specifics of the local geography, but it's 20% of the overall load. So it's 40% farm, 20% stream bank, 15% forestry, and understand forestry occupies so much space out there. It sounds like a big percentage, but on a per acre basis is very small. 3% is wastewater treatment plants, and the balance is roads and development. So on a single per use acre developed land is by far the worst for the water quality in the state. Stormwater from residential developments or stuff off of big parking lots and so on, because of what's in the water and also because of the speed with which the water goes to the end of the streams and adds volume and speed and erosive capacity.
Very quickly, we got a note from David who says, does the state have a citizen's tip line to report runoff pollution anonymously? If so, what's the phone number and what's the follow-up by ANR and by Chuck Ross's agency? And I might pair that with an email that we got earlier in the program from Kelly in Bradford, who says, I live next to a large field along the Connecticut River. In the spring and the fall, almost daily for a few weeks, tanker trucks, one after the other, filled with liquid manure, drive down to the field and empty the contents onto the ground. The smell is awful, and I can't believe the manure isn't seeping into the river, especially when the field is sprayed right before a rainstorm. What are the regulations regarding this practice, if any? So for people like Kelly, or for people who want to report something, is there a tip line? Is that something that you actually do? Just very quickly, Secretary Ross.
It's not a tip line. We urge people to just call the Agency of Agriculture, and we try to be out as soon as we can. If we have somebody in the neighborhood, we'll have them stop by immediately, whether or not they're a water quality person or not. So we try to get out there within at least 24 hours, and it's frustrating when we get a report and we show up and we don't catch the person in the act. But we urge people to call the agency. We do respond to complaints. That's how we some of the work that we do in the regulatory environment is based upon complaints.
And we have a cooperative program between the two agencies. And if you go to the Agency of Natural Resources website, there's a button there. It's essentially our enforcement button with contact information. You can submit complaints either by email or by phone. And, we have shared jurisdiction, so our enforcement officers will share information with the ag inspectors and vice versa as appropriate.
You know, we've talked about this for almost the full hour now, and it's interesting to get to the problem and try to look at what contribution farms have to Lake Champlain runoff and what might work to help educate and enforce regulations that are already out there. This takes money, and it takes buy-in. A lot of Governor Shumlin's proposals in regards to how to curb farm runoff are going to require legislative action. Do you have buy-in from the legislature to follow through with these plans, given that you work for the administration? I'm assuming that you support them. And what do we need to make sure that we have the money in the state coffers to actually make this plan work? Because there's a lot of talk we can do, but what are we going to do to make it actually happen?
Well, we're in the middle of presenting and discussing this with the legislature. Given the legislature's historic interest in the last few years, I believe we're going to be engaged in a very constructive and positive forward-moving conversation. It's not in the question of whether or not we're going to do this. It's really a question of how we're going to do it right now. And that's great, because we understand that, and certainly as a former legislator, I appreciate the fact this is a conversation. Legislation gets better through dialogue, input from legislators, the public, from the administration. That's a process that we're in, and we think we're being received well, but we have things we need to talk about. And, we're not trying to be secretive about it all. We know the fertilizer fee is not something that the farming community is excited by. They think they may have some better ideas. Great, bring it on. Let's hear about it. But we do need to get the resources on the table so we can fulfill our commitments as the state in doing the things we need to do as part of the TMDL that we hope the EPA is going to approve, as well as the things we need to do just for our own, because we believe it's the right thing to do, like upgrade the AEPs. That takes time and energy.
And that TMDL, the total maximum daily load of phosphorus runoff that the federal government has to approve to decide, yes, okay, what Vermont is proposing is okay by the federal government. This is certainly something that's a big issue for the state, because the EPA has not been satisfied with Vermont's plan. And if it continues to not be satisfied, the EPA will enact its own plan. And Governor Shumlin has warned that may not be exactly what Vermont thinks the priorities are in terms of what we've just been talking about today, farm runoff. But Commissioner Mears, I wanted to give you a chance to get a final word in.
Well, thanks. And I just wanted to share, in response to your question about, do we have the political will? I kind of think at the core of what you said, and we do. And the fact that we have the political will at the governor level of the governor, and frankly, I can tell you, I'm in front of every committee. And, for people who follow the Vermont legislature, they know it's not just the environmental committees that pass these laws. It has to go through transportation and agriculture and ways and means and appropriations. Every one of those chairs of those committees and ranking members, and it's across party lines, are coming and talking to me and Secretary Ross and Sue Mentor at the Agency of Transportation and others and saying, how can we help? That's a huge breakthrough. So I just wanted to reinforce that what Secretary Ross said about this being a question of how we pull this off rather than whether is really a critical threshold. And, you know, I think we have some tough choices still in front of us this coming session, but I have a very – I'm very optimistic that we're going to make it happen.
And when do you think the EPA might rule on the state's lake plan?
They have – at this point, they've said that they're waiting till June because they want to see how the Vermont legislature acts. They've said that the plan that the Shumlin administration put forward will get the job done if it's sufficiently resourced. And they've said they want to see – they're taking a wait-and-see attitude.
And this is one of the critical elements. We have been talking about water quality for a long time, setting expectations. And quite frankly, as a body of Vermont, we have collectively under-resourced it. Governor Shumlin is presenting a plan that will provide the resources to better fulfill the promises we've been holding out for a long time.
Well, we here at VPR will continue to follow this as it moves through the legislature and as the governor's plan gets discussed by the legislature. I want to thank Chuck Ross, the Secretary of the Agency of Agriculture, and David Mears, Commissioner of the Department of Environmental Conservation, for talking with us this hour. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Special thanks as well to Jackie Folsom and the organizers of the Vermont Farm Show for having us here at the Champlain Valley Expo. That's it for today. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about bias-free policing and whether Vermont is doing it right, and what more needs to be done. If you have thoughts on that, write to vermontedition@vpr.net. Our engineering team today, Chris Albertine, Todd Mallory, and Joe Temecki. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.